Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach and CEO of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already August 6th and 7th. Where did July go? I know I'm starting to sound like my grandparents or parents. The older you get, time just seems to fly. But in any event, here we are on August 6th and 7th. We had a great show last weekend. We had Brian from Johnson Golden Harvest, and of course, one of the things that we're into at Northeast Delta Dental is overall wellness, and you can't have good overall health without good oral health, and that'll be relevant as well for today's guest and show. But, of course, Brian's pitch is you are what you eat, and at Johnson Golden Harvest, they obviously have locally grown food, and it's great, and he's right near the hooks at toll booth. So Brian did a fabulous job. For my racing friends, I just want to thank you all for participating in the Capital Era Race Series. We had the eighth and final race at the Canterbury Woodchuck Classic last weekend. Very competitive series. Just as a reminder, if you have not yet picked up your participation sweatshirt, and that would be if you had participated in six out of the eight races, you can go to Runner's Alley right here in Concord on Main Street anytime between now and the end of August, and you can, they have the list. And if you did participate in six out of the eight races, including one of the 10, either the 10K race, the Capital City Classic, or the Bill Lutie 5-miler, you can pick up your jacket. But Janine's team at Runner's Alley has the list of people that qualified. So one of the, again, the great things about this show, and I really enjoy doing my radio work, is we're able to feature community partners. And so this weekend with me, August 6th and 7th, while I'm running the Beach to Beacon Road Race in Maine, simultaneously I'll be interviewing Peter Ames of the American Cancer Society. Peter, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're really busy, but thank you for coming in.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Happy to be here.
And as I mentioned to Peter offline, later in the year, we'll be having a show specifically talking about the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer of Concord, which this year is Sunday, October 16th. The weekend before is Columbus Day weekend. Some years, the walk has been the prior week, but with Columbus Day weekend, this actually makes it a little easier for my running friends who do the double. We used to be the Granite 10, and then once we finished that race, we would literally race over to Memorial Field and do the walk. This year, it's separated by a week. So we'll have a separate show on that, but just as a reminder, that again is Sunday, October 16th. So easy to get to Memorial Field. The walk begins promptly at 1 o'clock. There's a survivor procession at 12:45, and I must say it's one of the most moving days of the year to see the Sea of Pink. But let's get with Peter and just tell us about your role with the American Cancer Society, and then we'll get into specifically the oral cavity cancer situation.
Sure, thank you. So I've been very lucky to be with the American Cancer Society for about 10 years now. And my work is really focused around prevention programs and working with community-based partners to help them increase cancer screening rates or help educate folks about ways they can lower their cancer risk, but also certainly supporting cancer patients and their families when they're going through that cancer journey. But, the real story for me starts a number of years ago when I got my first real introduction to cancer. Yeah, the thing about cancer is I think we all have a story about cancer that touched our lives, and mine started on a car ride home from my first semester at college over at UNH, and that's when my father told me that he had stage 4 head and neck cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty unexpected.
Did you know what stage 4 meant?
I did not. Knowing everything I know now, I'm glad ignorance was a little bit bliss at the time. As I was away, I couldn't be there to support him as much as I would have liked to, but it was really a medical miracle because he's now a 20-year cancer survivor. After that experience of, a very serious surgery, radiation and chemotherapy. But it all worked and came out okay for him. But that really led to my passion to fight this disease. And I'm very happy to say that now, we know so much more about head and neck cancers and ways to prevent them.
Now, when did you start working for the American Cancer Society?
I started working for them about a decade ago. And what really led me to the Cancer Society is that They really have one of the best platforms to help support people who are facing this disease. But also, you know, we're in this to end this. We don't want to be an organization that exists, you know, in the future. And so we're really invested in doing what we can with what we know now to prevent cancers, but also investing in research to fill in the gaps of what we don't know. So that's why events like Making Strides Against Breast Cancer are so important, that we can make sure people have the support who are facing this disease right now. But we're thinking about the future as well. We will make sure that our sons and daughters don't have to go down to Memorial Field decades from now, because we will have been much further down the road battling this disease.
That's awesome, and I like the research and education and advocacy component. Obviously, the American Cancer Society is nationwide, but locally, can you tell us what you're doing specifically in the Capital Region and how the programs are helping patients?
Sure. You know, one of the great things about the American Cancer Society is it's available to anyone 24/7, day or night. I do want to give our phone number, because that's the one-stop shopping for accessing any of our information or resources. That's 1-800-227-2345. And if you call that number, you can talk to someone day or night who's trained with information about any cancer question you may have, about prevention, about treatment, side effects, any issues you may have with that. But also, we can connect you with resources that are based in your town, where you live, wherever that is. So around the Capital Region, one of the big requests are for rides to treatment. So we have fantastic cancer centers around the region. But cancer treatment can be a long process, and getting transportation to all those treatments can prove difficult. So one thing we have is our road recovery program, where volunteer drivers will pick up patients at their house and bring them to treatment and then back home again. So that's an active program we have here.
That's good to know, because that's, you know, obviously it's devastating probably to get the news. But then if you have transportation difficulties, that's what I like to say to people, which is that day-to-day living still goes on, and you still need someone to drive you and so forth. So that's awesome to hear about. How about in terms of, this is New Hampshire, so you know, Peter, I'm going to ask you this question. So how is the American Cancer Society funded?
Yep. So we are funded through mostly small donations from, we're very fortunate to have a very generous donor pool of really just community volunteers and supporters. So the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer and Relay for Life are our two key events, where we have thousands of those events around the country. But most of our donations are small, between $25 and $50 donations, and those add up. So we're very lucky to be supported by the public. As I said, you know, everyone's got a cancer story, and those small donations add up and make a huge impact in the fight against cancer.
And of course, not to switch gears to politics, but that's how President Obama got elected 8 years ago, was through many, many small donations, right, as opposed to the large donations. So I know we'll have a separate show on Making Strides Against Cancer, so I don't want to take the wind out of that show. But isn't Concord one of the first Making Strides nationally, and on a per capita basis, we're one of the most generous walks for the community?
It is. It was actually one of the very first events in the entire country when it started, I believe, in 1993. And since that time has just done a phenomenal job, and actually is one of our premier community Making Strides events in the entire country. So being part of that event is being part of something special. As anybody who's been there knows, it's quite a sight.
And again, that's Sunday, October 16th, and that website is makingstrideswalk.org. And the phone number that Peter referenced, just in general in terms of cancer information, is 1-800-227-2345, 800-227-2345. You'll get a live person, and you can also go on cancer.org. Let's now get specifically before the commercial break, and then we'll do more detail after the commercial break. But tell us about what are the oral cavity cancers and why that is so relevant for today.
Yeah, well, first of all, I will agree that, you know, oral health is connected to overall health. And
now you sound like me.
Well, it's true. And yeah, with cancer, it's no different. There are a number of different oral head and neck cancers that go from, you know, lips to the mouth, to the back of the throat, and down to the esophagus, with various ranges of what the survival rates are for those and what causes them. But what we do know now, which is a lot of progress, is that while there are a number of different types of cancers, they really boil down to three different things that cause them for the vast majority of them. And that is tobacco exposure, alcohol abuse and exposure to the HPV virus, which is the human papilloma virus. And if you think about these things, you think about what is cancer? It's cell damage, right? And a couple of things can cause that, certainly radiation, exposure to toxins, so that's where the tobacco piece is. But also viruses can cause cell damage. And the human papilloma virus is a virus that is really, everybody is exposed, it has it at some point in their life. About 90% of the U.S. population will have that virus. And it can cause cancer. It causes five different types of cancer, including head and neck and oral cancers. Now, the great news about that is that within the last 10 years, a vaccine has come on the market that is recommended for 11 and 12-year-olds that prevents those cancers. So we now have a vaccine that prevents cancers.
Perfect. So we'll, after commercial break, we'll explore that in more detail. Just a few weeks ago, we actually had a program on tobacco cessation, and there's a lot of great resources in New Hampshire about that. And we've also, in our health rural wellness program that we have with our participating dentists, we're actually now compensating dentists for tobacco cessation counseling and giving our dental community the resources. So if they do have a smoker that's a patient, you know, because forgetting all these other the medical issues associated with smoking, but it also can create oral health issues beyond cancer. It tends, for example, ironically, smoking tends to mask gum disease, because it's obviously dilating the blood or whatever. So it's so I'm glad to hear that you know that you're on top of that. So if you were to say one thing to parents on the vaccine, just as a preliminary to the second part of our program, what would it be?
Sure, ask your medical provider to give your kids the HPV vaccine because it prevents cancer.
Perfect. Okay. After commercial break, please stay tuned with Peter Ames with the American Cancer Society. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, this August 6th and 7th. If you're listening to in 6 o'clock, it's August 6th, excuse me, that's at 9 o'clock, and August 7th. At 7:05, and this weekend is also the Beach to Beacon Road Race in Maine, in Cape Elizabeth. But on Sunday, August 7th, if you're listening to this on the 6th, this is now relevant. At 9 o'clock, there's the Pittsfield Race in honor of Frank Donovan. My running friends will recall there used to be a Pittsfield Balloon Rally Road Race. It's always the Sunday after the Beach to Beacon Road Race in Maine. So those of us that do that 10K kind of struggle the next day. But in any event, we're doing this in honor of Frank Donovan, who really was a gentleman at Northeast Delta Dental who did two things for me. One, he got me involved with the community. And then two, he got me involved with the running community. And unfortunately, shortly after he retired, and again, he was one of my mentors, he actually died of pancreatic cancer, which is sort of relevant for today's topic, because with me is Peter Ames from the American Cancer Society. So, Peter, why don't you give us the general contact information, and then we'll get right back to the oral cavity cancers.
Sure. If you need any information or support when facing cancer or for someone you love, call the American Cancer Society at 1-800-227-2345. Again, 800-227-2345. That's 24/7. Someone live will be able to talk to you.
Perfect. And there's also an online website, cancer.org. And then, again, we'll have a separate show on this, but Sunday, October 16th is Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. There's a specific website there, makingstrideswalk, all one word, .org. That's Sunday, October 16th. The Survivor Procession, which you don't want to miss, begins at 12:45 and registration as early as 11 o'clock. So you were telling us about your dad, who's been a 20-year survivor or so of oral cavity cancer. So what was his progression like? As I mean, if he had stage four cancer, that was right. As a college student, you probably didn't realize how serious that was. That's now right. Of course you do,
right?
So boy, that's a remarkable story.
Yeah, no, we're very fortunate in the way it all turned out. He was very lucky to receive a clinical trial up at Dartmouth Hitchcock, which worked out very well. So again, going back to the research, I saw firsthand the benefit of investments in research, because he needed a clinical trial for that late stage diagnosis, ended up working. But, you know, one of the interesting things about head and neck cancers is they are often hard to detect early on, and that's why many are late stage. That's why one of the things that the American Cancer Society recommends is that you do go see your dentists regularly, because they do screen for head and neck cancers as part of a routine exam or cleaning.
I could have you work for Delta Dental on the side, but yeah, that's part. That was going to be part of my pitch. Every time I go in for my oral exam, you know, the dentist is checking my neck and so forth. And again, as part of our Health Royal Wellness Program, if you're a Northeast Delta Dental group client, if in other words, if your employer has Delta Dental, we have this great new program called Health Royal Wellness. And if you are a smoker, the dentist will counsel you and will compensate the dentist for that. And then there's nutrition counseling. But then just as a quick aside, the two cleanings a year, most people see the dentist hopefully twice a year, but that's actually not evidence-based. Some of us actually, based on, we have this new program called Previsor or HOW, which stands for Health Royal Wellness. Some of us actually need three cleanings a year depending on your score. So you go in, you get your cleaning, the hygienist will ask you a series of questions, and voila, if your score is 3, 4, or 5, she or he will set you up for the third or fourth cleaning in the calendar year, and probably apply a Del fluoride varnish, which many years ago people thought would just be relevant for children, but it can also apply to adults. So let's get specifically to the vaccination and the key messaging to parents with regard to this whole situation.
Sure. I mean, this is a breakthrough. This is a cancer prevention breakthrough where we have a vaccine that prevents 5 different types of cancers. And we recommend that all boys and girls beginning ages 11 and 12 receive the HP vaccine. And there's a reason that you want to make this a priority when they are 11 and 12. The biggest reason is that vaccine is incredibly effective when given at that age. So the antibody response that your body does when they receive the vaccine at that age, it's in the high 90s that it'll protect you perhaps for the rest of your life. The vaccine does not need any boosters and shows no signs of slowing down, so you're protected from those cancers from the rest of your life. If you wait until, say, your early 20s, the vaccine is not as effective, so there's a huge incentive to get it done at that age. HPV cancers are caused by the virus that is transmitted through sexual contact, so if you think your child is going to have sexual contact at any point in their entire lives, this is a vaccine that will prevent them from cancers from the HPV. So everybody does have, like I said, has this virus at some point in their lives. Many times your body clears it on its own, but when it doesn't, it can cause those 5 cancers, but not if you prevent it by getting your kids vaccinated at ages 11 and 12.
So tell us, I know that when this topic has come up before, sometimes people are saying, well, is the HPV vaccine safe? So tell us about the FDA and the studies there.
Yep, it could be the safest vaccine that's on the market right now. It's been well studied before it came to market, and now it's been out for about 10 years. So it's been well monitored. There's been about 80 million doses given out in the United States alone. And we've seen no major side effects from this vaccine. It's the side effects are the same as other vaccines, where your arm's a little sore or maybe a little red shortly after you get the shot, but it's probably the safest vaccine on the market.
So why do you think there, I mean, it seems like, I know that we're trying to get that word out, and sometimes there's a little bit of an obstacle. Is it just an educational issue in terms of the safety? And then I know that there's a whole set of people out there that are just against vaccinations in general. But,
sure.
But tell us how you've educated people to overcome this challenge.
Yeah, well, the HPV vaccine is relatively new, so it's not like others that have been around for a while. So parents are still getting used to understanding that this is something you want to include like every other vaccine. At first, it was recommended just for girls, but now it's understood to protect boys from cancer as well. So that caused confusion, but now it's very clear every child, 11 and 12, can receive this vaccine. The other thing is, you know, it's not a required vaccine for school or for, you know, sports teams, that kind of thing. So sometimes it's not on the top list for parents to get done as they're getting their kid into schools or sports events. But it really should be part of the required vaccines, because this doesn't just prevent you from a short-term illness. It protects you for your entire life from serious cancers.
And we know statistically, based on the data from the U.S. government that about 12,000 women get cervical cancer every year, and unfortunately, about 4,000 women die from it every year.
That's right. Yep.
So this could prevent that if they're getting that vaccination at an early age.
That's right. And it's now that we've learned that the virus causes other cancers, cervical being the largest, certainly still. But we believe it's an upwards of 28,000 deaths could be prevented by this vaccine because it protects against those cancers that cause the various deaths there.
And I know you did want to add that the vaccination, while certainly working, is not a substitute for cervical cancer screening, correct?
No, absolutely not. So cervical cancer is a cancer that we can screen for with high results that if you women should be screened for cervical cancer once every 3 years. And those screenings are really paramount to women's health because they are very effective in detecting cancer early. You know, unfortunately, we don't have screening tests for all cancers. Cervical cancer is one we have a very effective screening test. So you certainly still want to get those screening tests because they can detect for more than just cancer, too.
And what about boys? We've been focusing a little bit on young women and women, but what about boys?
Sure. Head and neck cancers are the big ones for HPV, but they also protects against genital cancers as well for boys as it does for girls. So as well as when boys are vaccinated, they don't put their partners at risk, and the same way the other way around for girls. So it's not just protecting yourself, but also protecting your loved ones. Even if you have the virus in you, it may not manifest to a cancer in you. That's not to say that you couldn't pass it on to a loved one where the results may be different. So everyone benefits by being vaccinated.
And you can learn more about the HPV vaccine at www.cdc.gov. So do you, as part of your role with American Cancer Society, do you go to schools? And obviously you've been to our organization and we're doing this radio, but I assume to get the word out, you're just trying to get it all out there with schools and so forth, right?
Absolutely. You know, people invest so much money and time raising money for cancer research. And this is the tangible result of cancer research. We have a breakthrough for five cancers. And we don't want that to go to waste. Right now, the vaccination rates for HPV are about half of what the other vaccines are that are given at that time for kids. So this is a cancer research breakthrough that we want to see fully utilized. So we're out there talking to community partners and medical providers about how important it is to get this vaccine.
And we've informed our participating dentists as well. So we've got to get comfortable. I don't know. Talking about it, I realize there's a sex component to it, and that's why maybe there's a little bit of reticence because you really have to acknowledge that your children are going to have sex at some point, and so that probably has a little bit of awkwardness. But it sounds like, my God, why wouldn't you do this?
Right.
but I realize, you know, that's not for me to make a decision for a parent. I think all we can do is educate and get the word out, which the way we've been doing in schools with our participating dentists, through radio shows like this. So I appreciate the fact that you're doing this outreach because sometimes the awkward topics can be awkward.
Sure. And that's, every parent should do what they think is best for their kids. And that's why we encourage folks to go to resources like you just cited, or cancer.org to learn more about the vaccine, how safe it is, and the benefits of having your children vaccinated.
Well, Peter Ames, we are so fortunate that you're with us right here in Concord with the American Cancer Society, and give our best to your dad. I'm glad that, I'm very sad he got cancer, but he's recovered from it and got you involved with the American Cancer Society. Your number again is 1-800-227-2345. And that can give cancer information, not just on this topic, but any cancer. And there's also cancer.org. And then you have the, if you call that number, you'll have a live chat with a specialist. And again, for my friends that are involved with the Making Strides, I know we have a huge Delta Dental team that's going to be walking in that day. It's a sea of pink. There'll be a future show on this, and that date is October 16th, and I hope people register at makingstrideswalk.org. Peter, thank you for joining me this weekend, August 6th and 7th. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate you coming in.
Great, thank you.
Tom Raffio returns next week with more of Northeast Dental Radio.